We'll segue into the September 2nd, 2009 rain report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to this first rain report for September 2009. I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK. Every year, there's a forum at the Daytonhamvention that is sponsored by the Amateur Radio Newsline. It's called the Live Town Hall Meeting. And each year, the Rand Report extracts a handful of excerpts from that forum. Here's one such excerpt from this year's forum, featuring longtime ABC employee and former ARRL board member Steve Mendelson, W2ML, talking about ham radio's impact upon his career in the broadcast industry. He was introduced by forum moderator Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, co-founder of Newsline.
We met on 2 meters on a repeater called WA2SUR, as we called it, the sewer, for reasons that became very apparent if you lived in Brooklyn, New York, or in the New York City area back in the late 60s. Anyway, we're talking, of course, about Steve Mendelson, W2ML, who's spoken here many times. Currently in his 18th year as a senior systems design engineer with the ABC Television Network in New York City. Prior to that, he completed a successful 21-year career as the most traveled broadcast engineer with the CBS Radio Network. Did a lot of work with Walter Cronkite, by the way. When he said that what made this all possible for him was his ham radio background. Steve is a resident of Dumont, New Jersey. He's been involved with FM repeaters and the like. But he's also done one thing. He's taken his knowledge of FM and repeaters and coordination, and he's brought it to the broadcast field. And I'm going to let him explain. Ladies and gentlemen, my buddy for more years than either of us will ever admit, Steve Mendelson, W2ML.
Thank you, Bill. I'm Steve Mendelson, W2ML, and I thought I'd talk a little bit about my favorite hobby, ABC television. Oh, wait, we got some ABC people here. My favorite hobby, ham radio. I've been a ham for 51 years now. It's been my pleasure to have traveled with 4 presidents, Pope John Paul several times. I have met virtually everybody that is anybody in Washington because they've come through in working with the various presidents that I've traveled with. This all happened for one reason, ham radio. Now, many people in this room have advanced degrees. I'm happy to say that I made it through high school, barely. I did, however, have DXCC in high school, which is why I made it through high school, barely. A lot of my travels came about because of ham radio. When I went into the Navy, they were looking for people that knew Morse code. Now, the average kid in the late 60s didn't know a lot about code, but the hams did. So I got involved. I was told that the Navy was actually a very large radio club by an ARRL official, and I've been after him ever since. 4 years later, I came out of the Navy after having been involved with naval cryptology. I was one of the people that was directly involved with some of these submarine trips that you may have read about that went to, I guess you might call it, a neighboring country. We sat off of Murmansk under the water, and we tapped an undersea cable. Now, for years and years and years, people thought that wasn't possible. A bunch of ham radio operators invented something called magnetic induction. We also, by the way, claim to have invented the speed of light and a few other things. These various things helped the government of the United States in its security efforts for many, many years, all done through ham radio. When I got out of the Navy, my father had the foresight to move next door to the video operator at CBS for a little show called The Ed Sullivan Show. You may have heard of The Ed Sullivan Show. What you don't know is that Bob Preck, the producer, in picking his technical crew, looked for only ham radio operators. And this is the beginning of a long stretch of, in case you don't know it, hams have a passion that is appreciated by people in the industry. Well, from there, I worked in television. I was a cameraman for almost 8 minutes when somebody said, "You have the eye of a blind man." So I became an audio operator. 2 years later, I wound up at the CBS Radio Network because we had a huge layoff. Seems that there weren't that many people really needed in television. Something about some space cadet having killed off the entire industry. When I went to work at CBS Radio, I went to work for a man named Bud Arno, who picked me out of six other engineers for one reason. He was W2BCM, I was WA2DHF. When he said that I was going to travel, I had no idea what he meant until he said, your first tour is going to be with the President of the United States in a place called Paramus, New Jersey. And so I found myself traveling to Paramus with Gerald Ford and watching him address thousands of people at a huge gathering. Now, as most of you know, the average microphone works perfectly. Problem he had. There we go. I was boosted up to speak on top of the presidential limousine, and all I did was figure out how to put an XLR back in the microphone, something any ham could do. There is a picture at my house of the president holding my hand up and saying, this is the kind of guy that makes technology work in America. All of this because I knew how to put a connector in a microphone, proving you can fool a lot of the people a lot of the time if you're a ham.
You're listening to an excerpt from the 2009 Dayton Hamvention Live Town Hall meeting featuring Steve Mendelson, W2ML, longtime employee of the ABC Television Network and former ARRL board member. Steve will conclude his talk in a moment. This is the Rain Report.
From there, I got asked to travel in 1978 with President Carter to South America and two countries in Africa. One of those countries was Nigeria. We traveled to Lagos, Nigeria, and I was asked to do the first ever ENG remote, electronic news gathering remote. I asked what kind of equipment we would be using, knowing that a 25-watt transmitter was pretty heavy, and the director of engineering said, well, let's see, they have no 2 meters there, so we're going to do it with your 2-meter walkie-talkie and your 2-meter base station. And so those people that heard a transmission from a moving ship, a moving speedboat with the president aboard, heard it on 2 meters, all because ham radio knew how to get it done. The gentleman at the receive site was another ham, and much to my shock and surprise, the Secret Service agents that traveled with the president were also hams. And when I asked the colonel involved why ham radio operators, he said, you guys know how to get it done. We think outside the box. All of the guys with the degrees formed the box, and then we proved time and again what can and can't be done. President Reagan, 1980 and 1983. The Pope touring Central America. Central America was a feast of 2-meter repeater operation. My buddy Wayne Wicks, who worked for ABC at the time, WA2KEC, brought the repeater. I brought all the walkie-talkies. And I can honestly say, if you had been in Tegucigalpa, Honduras, you would have been surprised had you turned on 146.73 to hear the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church addressing a crowd. Why? Because ham radio worked where commercial radio wouldn't. At some point, I decided it was time to stop traveling. That point was in 1989 when I was the transmission supervisor for the summit at sea between President Reagan and President Gorbachev. Why was I chosen? Because I was a ham radio operator. Because we had to get a Russian cruise ship, we had to get a Russian warship, and we had to get an American missile cruiser talking to each other. They couldn't do it except one way. Yes, we were on 2 meters again. And that 2-meter operation taught me that my skills would better be served as an RF person and not just doing transmission. So I went from CBS to ABC to stop traveling. Because of all of my activities, the man that hired me said, boy, you know RF. You know, we got a group of people that really could use your skills. So I went to work for Monday Night Football. I'm a man of many hats, as you'll see. Monday Night Football, in those days, consisted of 20 cameras and a potload of people trying to figure out how to get back into the talent ear on the field. So we invented the 450 megahertz band. And every truck that ABC sent out had no less than a dozen transmitters on various 450 frequencies. However, this time it was inside the country, so they were not on amateur radio frequencies. All of that worked well until basically 1999, when Monday Night Football left ABC, and my career in broadcasting was almost over, were it not for the fact that another group of people decided that hams were the best thing going. I got my job not through the New York Times, as they used to say. I got my job through ham radio. And in 1999, with Monday Night Football gone, a group of people were put together by N3AW, Jay Gerber. That group of people did something that would profoundly change the entire American scene forever. We coordinated frequencies at football games. Now, I've been a DXer and a contester all of my life. We are tame compared to football fans. These people are out and out crazy. However, there's also 78,000 of them, and you really don't want to argue. And so in 1999, I joined a group of people who coordinate frequencies for the NFL. And in this day and age, my wife and I are frequency coordinators for the New York Jets, all of which I got through ham radio. Now, the point that we're all trying to make here at this forum, and the point that I want to make over and over, hams network. Somewhere out there, a bunch of yuppies just got a cold shiver up and down their spines because they think they invented networking. They didn't. We did. We invented networking in the 1920s before they knew what networks were. We invented networking when we helped each other get jobs. And today, I just met three more hams who are going to be the Cincinnati Bengals frequency coordinators. There are 32 NFL teams. The 32 teams have a coordinator and a backup. I'm lucky. My backup, of course, is a ham. My wife, Heidi, KC2LEQ. And we are the ones that are out there making sure that the broadcasters don't interfere with the coaches' belt packs. There are 10 coaches at every game on each side. Each one has a duplex belt pack made by Telex Communications. He said, looking at the national sales manager for Telex, you can guess who's paying for the hats now. In point of fact, frequency coordination in the NFL is done almost entirely by hams. 32 teams, 32 backups, that's 64 people, of which 49 are hams. When Super Bowl is done, this is a little known fact, Jay Gerber, who is the national coordinator, he's the head of the coordination group, Jay goes to local ham clubs to ask for help. Why? Because ham radio operators think outside the box. We are a very adaptable group of people who make technology work for us. We don't work for technology. In every single case, I got my job through ham radio. Ham radio networking, best thing around. Thank you.
That was Steve Mendelson, W2ML, former ARRL board member and longtime employee of the ABC television network, detailing ham radio's influence on his career. His talk was given during the 2009 Dayton Hamvention live town hall meeting. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2009. Rain, all rights reserved. Now for all of those connected with Rain, I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK. Bidding you a very 73 from all of us at the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.